Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads. I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. And we're just thrilled that you are a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community and supporting the ministry of the God Center Concept. Well, today with us on the show, we have a lady named Joy Suzanne Hunt. And what she is a financial coach, pastor, and host of the Pastors and Money podcast. Now, I'm going to say this. This is the type of area that there needs to be probably like 50 of her. So it just does, because just the financial strain on ministries and churches today and pastors, and, you know, with the rising cost of living and all these other pieces, this is a huge calling, in my opinion. And I think one that you're going to find a lot of benefit from listening to. So, Joy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, Joy, here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to start this thing off. You share your journey with us. Just talk a little bit about your story. Help our audience really just gain an understanding of this as we kind of dive into this topic.
Several years ago, I finished seminary. I was, you know, in ministry and working a day job, and my call was to go actually into an overseas ministry, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I didn't qualify because I had a $900 student loan payment.
Got you.
Yeah. Just, you know, just a little one, right? Not even counting any other debt. And so really it took a couple years of spinning my wheels and not making a lot of progress. And when I actually sat down and did the numbers, I was $106,000 in debt. And it was heavy. It was keeping me from moving forward in my calling. Literally, I literally didn't qualify to go to what God was calling me to do, and had to figure out, okay, what am I going to do about this mess? And it was really playing out a lot of other areas, anxiety and stress, and, you know, this disconnect when you know there's something you're supposed to be doing and you can't quite figure out how to get there. And I did something I don't necessarily recommend for people, but it was what God called me to do. And I shared my numbers in a blog post and talked about how I was working on getting out of debt and down to that $106,000. And a friend of mine saw the post, and she sent me a link to her debt-free story that she had done on the Ramsey Show. And I listened to the story, and I was like, oh, maybe I can do this. Maybe we can get through this. And so I heard a speaker once say that sharing takes away the shame. And there was something just really powerful that happened for me when I put my numbers out there. And part of it was literally getting connected with information that would help me get through this mess that I had. But part of it was that this, all of a sudden, this big scary monster in the dark had no power over me anymore. What am I worried about? Somebody's going to find out. It's already on the internet, right? it's done. And so that really started a process of learning some new skills, learning how to do a budget that actually worked, learning to work a plan that actually worked. And so in about 3.5 years, I paid off $106,000. Living in Southern California, so math is still math in Southern California.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, a lot of student loans, paid off the car, paid off, you know, credit cards, everything. It's all gone. And it really opened up space for me to be obedient to God's call, so that a couple years later, I felt like, as we were just talking about a few minutes ago, like God gave me the nudge of, okay, it's time to step out of your day job. And I was able to do that because I had gotten rid of the debt and I'd saved up a chunk of savings for that transition. And now, and this is really fresh news, but I am in the process of getting ready to go overseas now.
Nice.
Which was not a door, which is a door that my unknowing choices had closed for me before. Wow. And I had to walk in obedience and clean up this mess in order to be able to walk through that door now. And so now it's kind of feels like it's kind of come full circle, to getting ready to, you know, working on training and preparations and fundraising and all these things, but getting ready to go where God has called me to go after all these years.
Amen. Amen. So let me ask you this question. And in looking at just this whole thing, you kind of talked a little bit about your journey now, but as a pastor, how do you see the connection between financial stewardship and discipleship?
So for me, I go back to Matthew chapter 6, where it says, and this will be familiar to a lot of us, right? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so whatever's happening with our finances, it's a mirror of our heart. And whatever choices we're making there are going to reflect what, you know, whether it's work that needs to be done, whether it's a positive thing of where our heart is. So in a way, our money is a reflection of our discipleship, not necessarily like how much you have in the bank, but more the peace you have around money and the direction that you're going in, right? And stewardship is discipleship. That stewardship meaning managing what God's the owner, managing what he has given us to manage. That's a part of what he tells us in scripture to do. And so a lot of us as believers, we follow really just kind of cultural money habits instead of biblical money habits and instead of biblical principles. And when we start to make that shift, it's really interesting to me how God shifts all these other things in our lives when we start to walk in obedience in any specific area. You know, if you work the self-discipline area, the self-discipline muscle in one part of your life, it starts to show up in other areas. But you start, and I started to walk in obedience in this area, and I grew in confidence. I grew in peace. I grew in really kind of a reassurance of what God had called me to. And my relationships changed, all these different things changed because my attitude around money changed. And the thing is, like, I knew what scripture said about money. I knew about tithing and this kind of thing, and I was doing those things. But some of what the word says about debt had just never hit me before the way it hit me that year. Sure. And in starting to realign with really what God's best was, you know, and that's what we're doing when we're becoming disciples, right? We're following Jesus. We're becoming more like what his word tells us to do and to live.
Amen. Amen. So why do you think, and you, I think you touched on it a little bit, but talk about just Christians struggling in this area. What, you know, what's really happening out there as far as, you know, just the, from this financial piece to Christians and just their, you know, just their approach to money.
I think the first thing that's happening is that there's a lot of mixed messages out there in the marketplace. Just to use, debt is one piece of this, right? But debt, to use debt as an example, debt as a product is marketed to us more than anything else is marketed to us. And if you ever have, if the last time you watched TV and you had commercials on, try taking a tally mark of every time something is marketing debt to you. You'll be amazed at how much these guys spend on trying to get your attention, and it works, right? And that's just, one component of it. So we're getting all these mixed messages from the marketplace. And at the same time, we're not often getting something from the church. The church isn't really teaching about it. That's a blanket statement. Obviously, churches are. But I think what I've heard from pastors is a lot of times pastors have some fear around teaching about finances because either, well, I get my paycheck from the church, so people are going to think I'm after their money, or some of them grew up in a tradition where somebody took advantage of the church finances. And so they're like, I don't want to have that stigma, so I'm just not going to talk about it. Or they don't feel confident teaching about it. But for whatever reason, money is one of these topics that culturally we avoid. And in the church, we tend to avoid it too. And then we're not discipling our people in that area. And then how are they going to know? And then how are they going to know it's giving, it's generosity, but it's more than that. If you aren't following the other principles in scripture about how we manage money, there won't be anything to give. Right. And there might be a little teeny bit, but there won't be nearly as much as if you're able to walk in the wisdom that we see in scripture about money.
Amen. Yeah, it's definitely an issue. And I think everybody on some level has or struggles with it. Mm-hmm. Even people who have a great abundance of it. And I've been in all situations. I've been kind of in that neutral area. I've been in the abundance area. I've been in the depravity area. I've been just above the line. And so I've been in kind of all those states with money. And so it's never not an issue. It's mm-hmm. never not something that you can't pay. You have to pay attention to it. It doesn't matter where you're at and what situation. And so I think that's something that's really important to remember. Even when you say, let's say you do get debt free mm-hmm. and you do have an abundance and everything from a financial standpoint is doing really well, you still can't take your eye off the ball.
You can't. That budget's not going to be so tight. You'll have more wiggle room, but you still have to be, we talk about going from intense to intentional. You still have to be purposeful. You still have to be intentional. Because it's not about how much money you have in the bank or how much income you have. It's about what you're consistently doing over time God has given you to manage. And if you let it manage itself, it doesn't. Money is not a good master even to itself. And so it will float away or go towards purposes that are not what you intended it to. And so I get coaching clients that will come and they have a great income. Sometimes they even have a lot in savings, but then they feel like they're not making a lot of traction on their goals because they're able to pay the bills, but they're just not paying attention to where everything's going.
Right. I think what you just said, paying attention to where it's going, is a big deal.
Yeah.
And so diving into this, in from the perspective that you come from and the way that you approach this, talk about some key biblical principles about money that has basically transformed your approach to both debt and stewardship. Mm-hmm.
So one of the kind of the foundational pieces, I think, is that idea of stewardship, the fact that everything belongs to God. So Proverbs 24:1 says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so we're just managing it, but also just is not the right word because there's a weightiness to us managing it. It matters what we do when we manage it. And so there's this kind of holding this tension of holding both things of I'm going to trust God and this really belongs to God. And so to an extent, I don't need to stress about it. And also, wait, God gave me a really important job. And that job is to manage this resource and to grow this resource and to use this resource to take care of my family and to get the gospel out there and to do these other things with it for his kingdom and for his glory. And so that's a really key point, a key piece of it. And it's really the foundation, right? Is that everything belongs to God. It belongs to God. Doesn't really belong to me. I might say it's my bank account, but it's really the bank account God gave me to manage. Right.
Amen.
And then the one that really, you know, I grew up knowing that first one, the one that really shook me up because I'd read Proverbs, I don't know how many times. I was in missionettes growing up, so I read a lot of Bible growing up, but Proverbs 22:7 says the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. And for some reason in 2017 was the year that I needed to hear that. And I was ready to hear it and go, oh, that's why I'm stuck. I'm a slave. And for me, it was almost literal. I was stuck, not able to walk in obedience to what God was calling me to do until I got rid of this debt, because it was literally keeping me from walking and from following through with what he called me to do. It was literally disqualifying me. That's not, you know, necessarily how it works in a tactical sense for everybody. But if you think of, you know, in the old days, that you would be, if you owed money, you were an indentured servant. You had right. to go work off your debt. We just have a third party in between. It's called the bank, right? And so we're still having to work off our debt, which is still keeping us from being able to use those funds towards whatever else God would steer them towards, because we have made a commitment to somebody else is what it comes down to. And then really contentment. You know, 1 Timothy says godliness with contentment is great gain. And then this idea you mentioned earlier about being intentional and planning with our money. And so that's really foundational, because all the other things, you can know them, but if you don't make a plan, it won't matter what you know in your head.
Right.
It doesn't matter if I know that debt is crushing me, if I don't have a plan to get out of it. It doesn't matter that I know that generosity is important if I don't have a plan for how I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter that I know I'm supposed to take care of my own household, or if I don't have a plan for how I'm going to follow through on it. And I'm definitely not managing what God has given me. I'm not stewarding what God has given me if I don't make a plan for what I'm going to do with it. Does that mean God can't redirect my plans? Of course not. He gets to do that. He's in charge, right? But he put you in charge. You're married. He put you and your wife in charge of your finances. Mm-hmm. And so having a plan, being intentional is really essential to that. And then the last one is living within our means. And I forgot to put this in my notes, but there's a couple different proverbs that talk about how a fool spends everything he gets.
Sure.
You know, so, and it's the equivalent of just kind of burning whatever income, right?
Right.
And so those would be the key ones, is we're stewarding, we're avoiding debt because debt is slavery, and contentment, being intentional, making a plan, and then living within our means.
Amen. Amen. So let's jump down to the, because you've kind of touched on several questions that we have here, but let's jump down to this question. And this is really about maybe kingdom impact to some degree, but also just about positioning. And so how do you specifically help people see that getting out of debt isn't just about money, but it's about putting themselves in the right position to be available for God's plan when he calls you to fulfill that plan?
So how it looks a lot of times with clients is kind of putting into a tactical exercise what happened to me, where I had this wake up call of I can't do the thing I'm supposed to do. Right. And so when I'm sitting down with somebody, I will do a vision and values exercise. And, you know, where do we want our family to be 3 to 5 years down the line? What does that look like? And, you know, for believers, that's, what is God calling our family to be? What is, and that's not a financial question. That's in all these areas of your life.
Right.
You know, what does it look like to be who God has created us to be as a family? And so then knowing that, where then we look at where are financial problems getting in the way of becoming who God is calling you to be, becoming who God is calling your family to be. And we'll kind of just get real on, okay, what is this costing you? You know, so for me, it was costing me being able to obey in this particular ministry, in this particular instance. But first, you know, for sometimes it's the parent who feels like they can't ever be home with their kids because they're having to work all these crazy hours, but there's no end to it. It's a hamster wheel. It's not a temporary hard work to get something done.
Right.
You know, and I'm supposed to be raising my kids and my kids need a dad, but I can't figure out how to make ends meet. You know,
right.
What is it costing you that's getting in the way of what, who God created you to be, what God is calling you to do. And then, you know, then we're going to go back to that planning piece of, okay, so we know where we're stuck. What are the steps that we can take? What can we clear out of the way? And for, you know, for a lot of people, that's going to start with getting out of debt, because that frees up so much room in your budget, in your expenses to be able to move forward on any of these other things.
Amen. Amen. So as you know, and this is just, I guess, for me personally, something that I have seen that has been, that I have seen God do in my life, is there's been a couple of times, and you and I were talking a little bit before the show too, there's been a couple of times where God has called me. I've been in a, I wouldn't say in a necessarily a position to make a move, mm-hmm. but God's like, you're moving. Mm-hmm. You're going. And I know you don't have the count to do it right now, but I'm going to provide that as we go and you're going to trust me. And so what would you say to some of those people right now and how they need to approach a situation like that?
Yeah. So, you know, God calls us to do hard things. He doesn't call us to do hard things blindly. What I mean by that is choosing to follow him is an intentional act.
Amen.
Choosing to be obedient is an intentional act. Even if we say, I'm going to step out of this thing and take a big pay cut so that I can be obedient over here. You know, I'm not making that decision on a whim. you know, for spouses, I love it when God speaks to both people about it. You know, for those of us that are single, we have to put some accountability to make sure I'm not making an emotional decision, that I'm making a decision out of obedience. That's really important.
Yep.
And then the flip side is there anything that I'm doing that's going to get in the way of this? Is there anything that I'm doing that's going to make this harder than it needs to be? And so, you know, if for example, sometimes I'll meet with a couple that want, they feel like God's calling them to have one spouse be at home or be at a job that pays less, you know?
Right.
And okay, well then what are you going to do on your, cause God puts you in charge of the management side. What are you going to do to make ends meet in terms of, are you going to cut expenses? Are you going to move to a house that you can afford? You know, is there something else that God has provided that we haven't knocked on that door yet to make this, you know, mathematically possible? Because his will for you is not, it may be hard and it may not be a lot of money, but it's not going to be contrary to his best for you in scripture. So his will for you is not going to be for you to go drown yourself in debt in order to be obedient, because he's not going to contradict scripture.
No.
Right. And so that means that he's provided another way.
Yeah.
And sometimes the other way is hit pause and take 6 months and clean up your mess. Right. Sometimes the other way is, okay, you're going to go do this and you're going to downsize your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens in our culture, I think, you know, and I lean on the debt thing because it was my experience, but what happens in our culture is that debt becomes our band-aid instead of trusting God.
Yep.
And that debt becomes, I can't live without credit cards. What if there's an emergency? I've got a God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and I think he can help me handle an emergency. Now I'm still going to save an emergency fund because that's what scripture tells me to do.
Yes.
But we've gotten so, and this was me, I was just so used to just throw money at the problem. And sometimes, and if I didn't have money, throw somebody else's money at the problem. And when you do that, you don't see what other alternatives God has provided. I remember even speaking, I think maybe like a couple years ago, before I launched my podcast, I was talking to different pastors about some of the financial challenges in their churches and things. And somebody asked me to pray for them to get approved for a loan for something. And it was like for a business that would support their church. And I was thinking, if you're going to, and we all know that small businesses are one of like the riskiest things. Now they're great, but don't do them on debt because a lot of them fail. Yeah. Right? And I was thinking, and I just prayed for them. They don't need to know what outcome I prayed for. And I just prayed that they would pause long enough to see what other door God was opening.
Yep.
Because if this was God's plan for their church to follow through with this great idea, then let's not jump at the world's solution to it.
No.
Just because that's how our culture does things. Let's go, no, if scripture says that debt is not a positive thing for us, then God must have another way that he wants to fund this.
Amen.
You know, and we're culturally not in the habit of asking that question.
No.
So I don't know if that answered.
No, I think that's helpful. I think just, you know, being able to sit back and process these different ways of thinking about it are important. And I like the fact that sometimes the money issue isn't an issue at all. It's maybe we need to look at some other angles that don't have anything to do with money. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about sometimes we don't need to be throwing money at the problem.
Right.
We need to look in the other directions, and I've kind of been in that situation, and I understand that. And I hope you guys in the audience are really listening to this, because I think that sometimes, and look, here's something that I do when God makes that calling to me, and you made it mention about it's really great when the Lord speaks to both spouses. Okay, and that is really good. What I always pray for is, Lord, you are pushing me in this area. And Lord, I just now pray that you will bring me a confirmation that I need. And if you ask the Lord, he'll give it to you. I've learned that. He'll give it to you. And it'll help you to it's a lot of times, and this is what I'm going to say, the God is pushing you to something, but it's also, it's not just going to that, but it's how you get there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the when, the how, the where, every part of those details is a very important part to God. Mm-hmm. It's not just the end result.
Yeah.
The mean, hey, bad means doesn't justify the end result.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he likes you to be faithful through every piece of it.
Right.
Because that way he gets the glory. And it's about life is about glorifying him. It's not about us. You know, we have, matter of fact, in our discipleship series, and we talk about the very first lesson is who owns you? Because if we don't get the grasp that God owns you, the rest of the discipleship series absolutely means nothing.
Right.
Because we have to come in surrendered, you know? And so I think that's such an important part. So, Joy, we could keep going on, and I would love to have another hour of this. I think it would be awesome. However, we do have to be time conscious. Part of that preparation and being intentional, that intentionality. But where can listeners connect with you? What's the best step for someone who wants to start their own journey towards thinking about that financial freedom mindset and getting themselves in a position for that?
Yeah. So really, I would encourage people to go get some learning, get some learning. And you can do that. There's free ways you can do that. You can do it with my podcast. There's other ones out there that are amazing. There's, if you've never been through the Financial Peace University course, I highly recommend it. I've led it 16 times. And it's really good, practical, hands-on in a community, which would be my second piece, is to make sure get some people around you that are going to be your cheerleaders in this process. They may not even be cheerleaders that 100% agree with you, but not ones that are going to contradict you at every stage of it either. that's important. And then, and just take, start taking intentional steps. So one of those intentional steps you can take, I have a free smart money audit that I have on my website. It's just debtfreejoy.com/audit. And it's a workbook that you're going to go through. It's going to take some time, but you're going to go through it and pull all your numbers together. This was really the step that it took for me when I saw that 106 on the page and went, oh, that's the beast we need to slay, right? This is what we're going after. And then you can start to take action on once you have that clarity, you can start to take action on what are my next steps to start to steer this into the direction that God is calling us to steer it in. And if you do complete that audit, there'll be a place at the end where you can actually email it back to me and I'll give you a voice memo recording of this. Hey, here are some actions that you can take, some recommendations that I can give you based on the information that you've provided. So that's completely free. And then if you just check out, I'm on pretty much Instagram and Facebook at Debt Free Joy, and also at Pastors in Money if you're looking for more of the ministry leader side of things. And so there's tips and things there as well that will help you in that process.
Awesome. Well, Joy, first of all, it's been great to have you on the show, and I appreciate you taking the time with us today. And I just want to say to our audience again, we appreciate you guys being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. And you know what? I just want to say this. I just pray over every one of you that you, if you are not right now, that you become faithful stewards over all aspects. And that includes the financial part of it. Every aspect of your walk with Christ. And that includes the financial part. So I just pray for all of our listeners out there that a spirit of righteousness, holiness, and guidance will come over you, and a spirit of wisdom is really the way I should say that will come over you in these areas. And Joy has shared some of that wisdom with you today. So Joy, like I said, it's been great to have you on the show. And on behalf of myself and Joy, I am T.S. Wright. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. We want to give a big shout out this week to Cupertino, California. We want to thank you guys for your support of this ministry and of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. We so look forward to an opportunity at some point to come out and visit you guys when we take this podcast and take this show on the road. So again, we thank you for your support, and God bless each and every one of you. And we pray that you will continue not only listening to this program, but to also continue to spread the word about the program. Thank you so much, and God bless every one of you.